All right, moving on this morning. Next we'll have managing spatial variability and in availability in cotton using sensor-based in fertilization.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here and your attendance. This morning I want to share with you what is really a culmination of research that began around 1998, 99 or so, doing remote sensing detection of nitrogen availability in cotton, and it culminated in developing this tool where we can use it to do variable rate fertilization on cotton. As you can see in the picture on the left here, I'm trying to grab this, there we go. The picture on the left there, you can see about 12 rows that the grower actually allowed me to do a zero nitrogen across that. And typically what we have in our alluvial soils in the Delta and in the hills also in Mississippi is we find highly variable soil available nitrogen, spatial variability. And so what you see on the right is where the grower fertilized it. What's happening a lot is with blanket applications, we're just masking this effect. And so if you want to do an effective variable rate nitrogen fertilization, you've got to be able to detect where that variability is. And, of course, the goals of variable rate N fertilization should be, you know, reduce this variability, increase yield, as well as improve fertilizer end use efficiency. Otherwise, you know, if you don't have the spatial variability to begin with, there's not much reason for doing variable rate nitrogen fertilization. So with that, we basically wanted to compare sensor-based side dress fertilizer application to what the growers were doing. So all the research today I'm going to show you was performed in growers' fields, all right? And some of them had fixed rates. In one instance, the grower was actually using soil EC based on, he's actually using CEC based on his soil test levels. And so we're going to look at some lint yield, we're going to look at leaf end, as well as some end use efficiency. And I have a second factor in there, a second treatment where we included either yield previous year yield monitor data or soil EC. Because in our area of the world, the service providers, one of the first things they do in a farmer's field, they go out and run a Veris cart and collect EC data. So over the years 2012, 2013, and 2014, our first year was in south of Natchez, Mississippi. We had two soil types basically within the field. They are alluvial soils. We were able to put constant rates of 30. In pounds per acre, it would be 30, 60, 90, and 120 pounds per acre. And that was applied around May 23rd, as well as the variable rate treatments. In 2013, around Highlander, which is near Money, Mississippi, we had a Dubs Dundee complex, a Tensaw silty clay loam, a Tensaw alligator complex. So you can see within these fields, the producers are having to manage a high degree of soil variability. And we actually divided, we had two research areas there, one in the north where the grower did not put out his pre 70 pounds of nitrogen. And so on the south area where we initially weren't in that part of the field and he put out his pre, it rained about 6 inches in between him applying his nitrogen and when we were going to plant. And so his question to me, which some of you have probably got this question, is how much did I lose? I said, well, the only way I can determine that is to do some research on it. And so we actually put plots on the south end. So that's why our lowest rate was about 70 pounds of nitrogen and went up to about 160 pounds. And then right near Money, Mississippi, you can see the variability in soils, three different soil types. Generally, we had 4 reps, except in Natchez, we only had 3 reps. So I'll move on. Don't want to labor too much on the methods because I have a fair amount in here. Basically, they were the growers' cultural practices, 12-row plots, et cetera. We did our application, our side dress application, anywhere from pinhead to early square. And that right before that, we would take our canopy reflectance. And we were using the RAN sensor to do this, which I'll show you that later. And we use what's called our simplified canopy chlorophyll content index. which basically uses the normalized difference red edge as well as NDVI, which you've heard some people talking about NDVI. And Dr. Tyson Raper and I published this about 2014. So basically we're using red edge 720 nanometers, NIR 840, and red at 650. So what we do is we have years of data where we've collected in N-rate plots. And so I've got a database that we have developed end response at different growth stages through the field. And so we've got this database. So we run this end sensor in a farmer's field. We take the data and we calibrate it to our database. We find the best match. And we know at certain CC, SCCI ratings, it's equivalent to, say, 80 pounds of N, and the farmer's target might be 120. So we take 120 minus the 80, and at that location it would get 40. Okay, so we're basically calibrating it in that sense, a little bit different than how some other folks are doing that. So my VR1 is basically sensor-based only. We base the end application on what the sensor tells us, with some intuitive knowledge from the grower as well as me. We make some adjustments there because things aren't perfect. They're never perfect, all right? And then the sensor base adjusted for historical corn yield was in natures, excuse me, and then soil EC for the 2013 money site. As I said, the grower used a variable rate based on soil EC, and we just classified into that low, medium, and high. The low, relative to the sensor, 33 was subtracted from a low-yielding historical. We didn't try to put more nitrogen on the low-yielding. The middle got with the sensor, and then the high potential yield got a higher N rate. All right. So basically, you can see what the soil types and fields look like. These are all alluvial-type soils. The Yara end sensor, we have a tractor-mounted sensor where we take the canopy reflectance data, we run that through the field, and nowadays we're doing it with UASs or UAVs and using like MicaSense's Red Edge camera and such. Red Edge is, for us, has really been shown to be really important, so we need that wavelength. And of course, if you're doing this kind of business, you need some fancy equipment and such. The lower right, fortunately, was the growers at Natchez. They basically are doing a lot of precision ag, so they had their own equipment, but the left and the upper right there, that's a cap stand, basically that pulse width modulated injectors, so we can vary it on the go very nicely using the Raven and Visio Pro. Of course, we get yield monitor data, and to back that up, in case we don't get the yield monitor data, which happens sometimes, we do the round bales and we weigh it on this trailer, which was designed to scale here, which was actually designed for doing hay bale weights and such. Borrowed that from Darren Dodds. All right. So if you look at Highlander, Mississippi, just to show you some examples here, down the center here is where they have the pump. And so the field is split. The highest elevation is in the middle, and it goes this way for furrow irrigation. So you can see on the northeast side there, you see hardly any cotton crop in some of those areas there, and that's where that heavy clay, tensos, silty clay loam. But you can see my low nitrogen strips actually running through there, and then you can see where we put some high, and actually a little bit of red actually shows up in some of those areas. On the west side there, you can kind of pick out some of the low nitrogen strips. And in Money, Mississippi, that location there was almost like there wasn't any cotton if you didn't put nitrogen on it. And this actually has 30 pounds of nitrogen, and there's barely any crop showing up in that imagery there. So you can kind of see what our N rates are doing, and we'll point out some more specifics on what the variable rates were doing. So when you do this in ArcGIS or whatever, this is what it's going to look like. We only had 3 reps at Natchez, but you can see where we had constant rates across there. We can set them in ArcGIS. And then you can see the variable rates changing on the go as we go along there. Same thing here. This just shows the variable rate in Money, Mississippi. You can see all those little dots, et cetera. You can see the end sensor in the background. But you can see the soil EC map in the background also. All right. So what I'm going to show you here is we've got our end rates. These series of tables are going to show the end rates on the left here. And if you want it in pounds per acre, it's 30, 60, 90, and 120. All right, so these are leaf end samples taken at Natchez. And you can see we didn't necessarily start out high and go low. We went, you know, from a lower value to higher values throughout. But you can see by peak bloom, not a lot of variability, but you can tell with the lowest end rate had the lowest leaf tissue nitrogen. But you can see the grower, which was the GVRN, he put out about 109 kilograms per hectare or so. And you can see what his leaf end values were and how they varied across the season. Here's our variable rate. We actually only put about 86 pounds in. Our end sensor backed off on the end rate compared to what the grower was doing, both VR1 and VR2. Oh, sorry, it takes a while to get this cursor up. But notice our values were a little bit below the growers, but all maintained above 4%. In Highlander, you can see with the nitrogen rates, with the zero, not the zero, but the 30 pounds per acre, you can see that by early bloom and peak bloom, we were running short of nitrogen in that field, and the imagery showed that very well. At about 60, we're maintaining above 4. At 101, we're from 5 to 442, and then 134, which in this case is the growers. The 135 is the grower end rate, so he had 534, 423, 465. Our VR1, which we put out 103, so we put out about 30 pounds less nitrogen in this case, and we maintained from 511, 406 to 49. We were actually higher by the end. But that's because we spatially applied it. It wasn't a blanket application. Now, what I didn't mention is we have a series of locations through all these long plots. 400 feet to 800 feet long are the plots where we go in and tissue sample, all GPS, all that kind of good stuff. The VR2 also we maintain fairly high. Now, the Highlander South, where he had already put out 70, his end rate, once again, is 134, but we put that higher end rate out just to see if he lost some N, et cetera. Our N sensor actually said he did lose N because our recommended N rate in this case was a little higher than his at 145. So the N sensor, the calibrated to the SCCI, we actually put out more nitrogen, but you see how we maintained the leaf N values relative to his. And once again, at peak bloom, we were higher than his 134. The VR2 also was higher. And that was based on soil EC. And in money, where we've really seen some nitrogen deficiency, look at the low end leaf end values early in the season. We're under 3%, and we should be 4 to 5% at that time. But you see with time, our nitrogen went up by early bloom, and then it declined with the 30. His rate in this field was, once again, the 134.8. And you can see by early bloom, he was 484 and then 414. Our variable rate, we only had the sensor based in this case. We hit 493 early bloom and then 429, a little bit higher. But we also had 150 pounds. This is the one case that based on our calibration, our database said, hey, put higher nitrogen out instead of less. All right, so let me show you the yield here. I'll try to go through this real quickly. The most important part, you see the VR1 in that first year, we out-yielded them, and we put less nitrogen. The red is actually the growers. The curves you're seeing are just our nitrogen rates. That's our typical nitrogen response curve. And I'm not going to worry about the VR2 at this point. What happened in Highlander, we put less nitrogen than grower did, but we really didn't make less yield. So we did save on nitrogen, and we didn't really hurt our yields. In 2013, where he had put out that pre about 3 weeks before and had 6 inches of rain on it, we actually out-yielded by more than 100 pounds of lint, but we put out about 10 pounds more nitrogen in that case, the green, the triangle. Notice the deviation from the lines. What happened in Money, Mississippi, you can almost follow this curve up to the green that he actually did need a little bit more nitrogen out there to make a little higher yield to find that economically optimum rate. But we did make a little more yield, but we did put on more nitrogen. All right, just to show you end use efficiency, no, all of these from a low rate to a higher rate, you get a decline in end use efficiency. That's what happens when you put more nitrogen on. But the GVRN was the grower. The VR1 sensor was ours. We did better. In 2013, the grower was the 13.1, we were 16.9 kilograms of lint per kilogram of nitrogen per put on. We didn't differ much in 2013 from the grower, slightly less, and in Money, Mississippi, we were slightly less too. So in conclusion, detecting cotton biomass and greenness appears to be a viable indicator of crop end needs. Lint yield shifts from that fertilizer end response curve suggests to me that we're getting improved utilization of the nitrogen we're putting out because we're spatially applying it where we need it. All right. End use efficiency either increased, we were able to increase, or only slightly decreased relative to the producer's current practice. And basically, implementing a second factor really didn't help us that much. Any time for questions, comments? Nope.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
right.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr.